John said, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the world, does not come from the Father, but from the world." The morning after, you ever felt the effects the morning after? You ever talk about the morning after? For many of us that have walked with the Lord, maybe for a lot of years already, but haven't always walked with the Lord, I want you to think back to those times where the morning after wasn't always the best feeling. Was there a time in your life where you lived for yourself, where you lived for the world? Do you remember those mornings after? Do you remember the cravings? It says that everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man. Remember the cravings? The lust of the eyes, the boasting, pride of life, the regrets, the hangovers, the loss of things so precious that we could never get them back. John said that the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. What an incredible contrast. What an incredible contrast. We've just finished celebrating Christmas, and the morning after is a morning filled with excitement, joy, unless, of course, you overspent on your credit card. Then there's a month after coming. But what a difference from what the world has to offer. The world and its desires pass away, but the man, the person, the people that do God's will live forever. There's an incredible difference that has come into the world because of Christmas. God didn't leave us in the pit of the morning after, in all of the emptiness, the dullness. I want us to look at Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2 this morning. Let's begin with Luke chapter 2. As we look at, as we are on, and I thank you, Jordan, for leading us in some more carols. Yes, that season is already so short. But to have the 25th come and gone, it's amazing. It happens to us over and over again. We have big events, whether they are weddings, family reunions, or Christmas, or there's those things that we wait for, and we can hardly wait for them to come, right? And you plan for them, and you keep going. And then all of a sudden, they have come and they have gone. What do you have left? You do have memories left, but what kind of memories? As we look at the shepherds and the magi, to them, realize, just to put yourself in their place, what happened after they had experienced Christmas? They had just been filled with excitement. And now it's after that. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to start reading at verse 16. He says, "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You know, Monday morning coffee rooms, they're full of conversations about the weekend. They're full of conversations about the party, the people they found, right? I went here and I found they were getting together here, and that's the conversation. But I want you to think of the words that make up those conversations. The words that make up those conversations Monday morning in the coffee room are many times not the words that ran through their heads in the darkness of the night. The words that are said so boldly and so openly in the company of friends and in the crowd are not the words that run through our heads when we're alone and we're trying to sleep. I remember telling myself so many times, next weekend would be different. Next weekend would be different. How many times doesn't that happen? Sunday night, dreading Monday morning, and you say, next weekend will be different. You've made some bad choices, and you say, you know what? I will never make those bad choices again. I'm going to quit. I'm going to put it away. And you realize the deep regret. You feel it in the pit of your stomach. And you realize, you know what? Couldn't do it. I didn't do it. Those are the feelings that we have. They're not the words that fill the conversations in our crowds. But you know, the words that we use in our conversations are not, neither are they the words that these shepherds used when they went back to their flocks. The words that we find in these few verses here in Luke, there's words like treasure. Treasure. Mary pondered quietly, maybe in the quietness of the night, I'm not sure. But it says that all the things that had happened and that were happening, they brought treasure to her thoughts, to her meditations, to the quietness of her soul. She pondered them and she treasured them. Isn't that neat? At the end of a season, of a Christmas season, such as we have just gone through, to be able to think back and to ponder and to end up treasuring that which we have just experienced. The shepherds, they came and they saw and they were glorifying and praising God. One of the things you will not hear too often in a crowd is that would pleasure which I had anticipated, everything that I had been promised, is just as it had been told me. You won't hear that in a positive sense. Because you see, the pleasures of this world, they pass away. They leave us empty. They leave us disappointed. But the shepherds, they went back and they began to tell people. Their conversations were full of praising and of glorifying God. But more than that, they were filled with the truth that everything that had been told, everything they had been told, things happened and were fulfilled just as they had been told. not in the negative sense in which sometimes parents, we tell teenagers, and if you think back to your teenage years, and we realize, you know what, Mom and Dad told us that. That's not quite what we're hearing here. Here it is, the fulfillment on the positive side of something, a promise that was made. And it was specific. And it was just as had been told them. The world will never deliver on all of its promises of pleasure. The pleasure part is there. Yes. Don't ever be fooled into thinking that a party isn't fun. The pleasure is there. But it doesn't last. It doesn't last. It will leave you empty. It will leave you disappointed. It will leave you with things have been taken from you that God never desired for you to be without. The promise to us and to these shepherds, to the people, to the world, that we find God sharing in Christmas is that there will be a shepherd who will come for my people. There will be a shepherd. He will rule my people. He will care for my people. If you back up a couple of verses to verses 10 and 11 of Luke chapter 2, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The morning after. Isn't it wonderful that the morning after can be filled with treasure? The morning after can be filled with joy. It can be filled with good news. You know, this is really God's idea of a morning after. God's idea is that the morning after you will wake up to an incredible fullness, an incredible excitement. You will wake up to just not being able to wait to start your day, to go about your day. That's what God offers. Such incredible fulfillment. Matthew chapter 2. The morning after should be filled with no disappointments. It should be filled with no disappointments. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked him, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." Think of these Magi. They have come. They went in search of something. These Magi, and I noticed in our hymn that there was three Magi. Well, we don't know for sure, because the scriptures, according to that little cartoon we saw on Christmas Day, don't tell us how many Magi there are. So some say there's three, some four, some traditions that there's 12. And if you're a Grey Cup fan, you realize there's a theologian in Saskatchewan who thinks there's 13. Sad. But it happens. But we don't know how many, but these Magi, they searched. Why would they take so much time? Would go to all the cost, all the effort. Think of your own life. Isn't it true that each and every one of us searches for meaning in life? You search for meaning in life. You don't want to wake up every day and have just no hope, no meaning to your day. And so we need something meaningful in our lives. And so we go searching. And we go looking in sometimes all the wrong places to find meaning and purpose. And we have been created with a God-given vacuum, a void that only God can fill. And we try to fill that with all kinds of things. We fill that with money. We fill it with pleasure. We fill it with drugs, with alcohol, with sex. We fill it with everything we can that the world has to offer. And you know, the world is always packaging it up and putting it out there and saying, this is what you need. This will fulfill you. This will forever. It doesn't fulfill you forever. We've been searching. And you know what? There are times in our search before we came to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, where we see that star, just like they did. We don't know all the details. We don't know exactly what we're going to find, but we know there's something there, and we can sense it, and we begin to follow the star. And you know what's so incredibly amazing? That when we begin to follow the star, we're already being directed and led to God Himself. We are led to the manger. We are led to our Savior. We are led to the place where everything can be fulfilled. They never gave up. They kept going. I'm sure there must have been times where they wondered where this was going. The problem with Christmas is that it's not all about me. It's not all about me. As children, we struggle with Christmas, with sharing our gifts, our new gifts. And we try to teach our children to be givers as well. Naturally, we want things to be about me. King Herod was like that. Many times it is the attitudes, our attitudes, that keep us from finding what we really need. When Herod, verse 3, King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. Herod had no intention of worshiping Jesus. He had no intention of bowing down to anyone. It was about him. That's all he cared about. His life was lived for himself. This Herod had his wife, his children murdered, his mother-in-law's, his in-laws, other in-laws. He was cruel. He lived his life just for himself. He never found treasure. He never found peace. He never found that great news of great joy that would be for all people. His was a continuing course bound for destruction. It's not what we just read at the very start. That the pleasures of this world, its cravings, its lust, its boasting, it will pass away. Destruction. That's what it is. Destruction. The things that we think are for ourselves and our own thinking and our own doing, they're the things that lead us to destruction. Look at what the Magi found on the other hand. Verse 9, after they heard the king, they went on the way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Notice their discovery. They heard the same message that King Herod heard. Now, King Herod should have known. He shouldn't have needed, there would have, should have been no need for him to send for the chief priests. But he didn't. And so that's okay. But these people heard the same message. In Bethlehem, a child will be born. And he, it doesn't say he will become a king. It says that he is a king. He is a king. Not he will one day become a king. He is a king. The wise men, the magi, they went. And what did they find? They found it to be exactly as what it had, as what they had been told. I don't know if the star led them through Jerusalem to Bethlehem. I'm not sure, because they probably didn't have GPS on their camels. So I'm sure that they had to follow the star. But it says that when they were leaving the city of Jerusalem, that they again noticed the star in some way. And they followed it, and it stopped over Bethlehem, 7 short miles. And there the star stopped and shone on the place where Jesus was. Jesus was in a house. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. What do you think made up their conversations on their long trip back home? There would have been a lot of discussion going on, a lot of quiet meditation, contemplation of all the things they had seen, all the things, the start of their journey to the end of their journey. When they got back, their lives were fuller. Their lives were changed. Not with regret, but their lives were changed in a fuller, real sense of the way. But do you know what they had to do? They had to bow down and worship the Savior. Herod couldn't do it, didn't want to do it. My question to you is, what type of morning after do you want? What do you want your mornings to be filled with? How do you want Monday mornings to start? How do you want each day to start? Do you want it to be filled with regrets, with disappointments, with promises that are never fulfilled or kept? But you see, you can only have the Savior of the world, the Prince of Peace, the news of great joy, the treasures. You can only have those if you're willing to bow down. And by bowing down, you're letting go of yourself. That's the toughest part for us, to daily bow down and worship Him and not me. It's not about me. It's about Him. Are you ready to bow and to worship Him? Let's pray. Lord, you know each of our hearts. I am glad that the story of Christmas doesn't end Christmas Day. I'm glad that it is more than just a story. I'm so glad that it is a part of a wonderful plan for each of our lives, for the world. It is the good news of great joy that will be for all people. And Lord, many, many times we hear the message of your word and we struggle to bow down and to worship. We struggle, Lord Jesus, to come to your cross and to actually have to admit there that we are sinners, that we are lost, that we are wrong, and that we can't do it on our own. And Lord, after we've come to the cross and we've admitted our sin and we find that forgiveness so wonderful, so great, I wish, Lord, in my own life too, I could say that I bow down and worshiped you every day. But it seems so different. Because I still struggle with that old nature. I still like things my way. I still think I am right. You know where each of us is at as on our spiritual journey, on our spiritual roadmap, Lord. But would you take us from wherever we are, and would you draw us to bow down, truly bow down, and worship you? Amen.